Good morning, church. Would you now turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 from verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent many time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
If you are new here and you don't know what I'm saying, the Bible says he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God and not to man. It's just a prayer language he gives us to give us ability to hear him and to pray his will and his power and his purpose over our lives. Let me start with a testimony. It's a difficult one to give, but I'll do it. Because I want to tell you about the power of this prayer language. It's difficult, but there was a day when I was attacked. I was a young Christian, and it sent me into fear, and I was frightened that the person would come again. I fought like anything, so the harm was minimal, but the trauma was there. Somebody needs to hear this, I guess. Why am I ringing? Am I doing something wrong? And I couldn't function. I was scared every day, everywhere I turned, I was scared. And I was at a friend's house, and for a number of weeks they tried to help me, but nobody could help me. I just had this fear. I couldn't get out of it. So shall I take the handheld? It's ringing. Okay. And I was sitting in my friend's house, and my friend was exasperated, and he said, I don't know how to help you. And so I just began to pray in tongues. I didn't know what I was praying. And suddenly I was in, it was like a dark, dark, dark ditch. Something about darkness today, the power of darkness has no power over your lives. You do know that. And I was in this ditch, and as I spoke in tongues, I was praying for, it was nearly 30 minutes. And I began to see a little sparkle of light. And the light began to get wider and wider and wider and wider and wider. And suddenly, I burst through this light. And every fear had left me. And I was never afraid again in that context. I didn't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit himself gave me utterances to pray my way out of trouble, out of bondage. Somebody needs to hear that today for your own life. If you are born again by the Spirit of God, there is no power which is greater than the power that is in you. Don't give up on what you've asked for years and you have not yet seen the manifestation of it. I believe we're in a season where the Spirit of God is releasing that which God has designed for his body at this time. And for those of us in Kensington Temple, no bars are held. We are having visitations of the Lord. Let us take advantage of those visitations. Let us learn who we are, why we are, and then step into it. Because we are one in Christ. My title today is One for All, but it's actually All for the One. Those words are ringing over my ears. I trust in God. And he heard and he answered. He answered. He answered. So we continue to advance, and thank you, Maxine, for reading so beautifully the text today. We began with advancing outward in mission, and then we advanced upward in prayer. The most powerful thing that a Christian can do in their lives. And then last week we heard about advancing inward so that we grow as disciples, so that we get closer to Jesus, our Savior. Today we look at advancing across our lives together as one, holding each other together under Christ in fellowship and relationship. Together, we're together in this building right now. There's many of us here. If anybody walks in, they would say, wow, what are all these people doing together? We're together online. Many of you are speaking to each other online, and you are being ministered to as well. And the presence of God is with you. We are together as members of the body of Christ. Our experience of salvation has brought us together. The whole of this section of the book of Acts that was read in chapter 2 is about life among the believers. What is unique about how they were living out their new faith? They'd all come to a place of salvation, but what next? What should now happen? Verse 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. The Amplified Version says they steadfastly persevered. They didn't stop. They persevered. Devoting themselves. When you're devoted to somebody or something, you give it your best. You cherish it. It's so important that you keep going back to it or thinking about it. Or thinking about her, if it's a person, or a him. But they devoted themselves constantly to the instruction and the fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, which we do at every 9 a.m. service each week, and prayers. They pressed in continually. But they weren't pressing in because the apostles were instructing them. They were believers. And they were pressing into the instructions that Jesus Christ gave to the apostles to teach. So all were one in that they all believed in Jesus and they wanted to hear his teachings that had been passed on to the apostles. They wanted to do what he instructed, breaking bread together, and they wanted to pray together. Now, everyone, their primary relationship, was with Jesus Christ. They were together because they'd come to believe in him, just like many of us today here. And this led them to being committed to building open, honest, and spiritually encouraging relationships with each other. It led them to work together and to build the kingdom of God together. So in the book of Acts, they found purpose. They found purpose. It wasn't that just I got born again and now I'm saved and life is la-di-da, and it certainly wasn't in those days. But it really was that they found purpose, community together to do something as this evolving church. They broke bread They gave thanks to God. They gave thanks that Jesus Christ was given and he paid the price. They gave thanks for bringing them all into salvation. They were grateful. But the prayers, they had cottoned on to something. That prayer was recognized as the source of intimacy with God, making them sensitive to his direction. What were they to do? Where were they to go? They sought prayer daily. They want to hear. They want to know what they're supposed to do. They can only know from him. This allowed his power to work through them. Is this what we are beginning to experience in KTLCC? As we press into prayer more than ever before. We have had a series of incredible visitations of the Lord. Are you having visitations of the Lord in your personal lives, in your homes? Are you having visitations of the Lord in your homes? Or is it just when we gather together? There's a scripture I'm hearing that says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we come together, we're full of something already that we can give to each other and share with each other. Hallelujah. Verse 43, awe came upon them. The Amplified Version says, and a sense of awe, reverential fear, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messengers. The result of instructions from the apostles, the results of teaching, the results of their devotion to the ways of Jesus Christ, the results of their constant prayers were signs and wonders, building the faith of the saints so that they in turn could do the same thing again. Really, I would say, that early church became a sign to the world of Jesus Christ, his presence, his power, and his work. Verse 44, all who believed were together and had all things in common. The Amplified says, all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ. That's what we're singing about today. They adhered to Jesus Christ. They trusted in Jesus Christ. They relied on Jesus Christ. Not the apostles. Not each other. But they did that together. They relied on Christ together. So it says in the Amplified, they were united. And together, they had everything in common. That means it was shared by all, literally. But this word united, their thinking was similar. Their stance was similar. They were united in thought, belief, behavior, and therefore in action together. What can be impossible to a people who are united? I go back to the scripture that's been used so much throughout our prayer week, etc., Joel chapter 2, where the Lord has to discipline his people by sending an army against them. But that army was solid, together. They didn't break ranks. They didn't jump over each other. They didn't put themselves first. They stayed in their lane, and they were formidable and unstoppable because they were together. As one. I remember the reason why God had to stop the work at the Tower of Babel. So the Tower of Babel, the people were going, they're going to reach heaven and they're going to do some things they're not supposed to do. And the Lord God Almighty, who created man, saw that nothing would be impossible to them if they were in agreement, if they were together. So he had to split them up by giving each one a different language so nobody understood each other and confusion set in and that was stopped. Look at what the scripture says in Matthew 18 and verse 19. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, if you harmonize together, make a symphony together, I love the poetry of the Amplified, about whatever they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven, together. Let me just give another testimony about together. My family are aware, so it's not a surprise, so I can share it. Because there's something about being together, standing together. At the beginning of December, I found a lump in the right side of my neck. And about a week later, I checked it out with the doctor, who panicked and said that I had a bone sarcoma cancer and that I needed an urgent scan. And that was the 6th of December. And the scan appointment didn't come within the 2 weeks. And I waited and waited, but I didn't wait. Of course, the first time I heard, I was a bit, what's going on? Panicky, fearful. Every single person I spoke to and asked to pray for me had the same answer. It's not cancer. Every person, from my sister, right the way through to the prayer warriors that I asked to cover, every single person declared it's not cancer. When I tell you that I was not just lifted, but my belief and my faith grew. And I learned in those few weeks how to stand on the only thing that matters, the word of God. But I was not alone. People were together with me. Christmas Eve, I had an MRI scan, and then I'm waiting for the results. And I continue to stand. People didn't ask me much how it was, because I said, don't ask me, because then, you know, the darkness will come and be telling me this. Just pray. I know you're standing with me, but I also have to stand. But I could stand because I wasn't alone. Last week, Thursday, the results came. Of course, there's nothing. There's not even a lump to feel anymore. So some people might say, wow, God healed you. I would say I didn't need healing because it was never there in the first place. But there was agreement among the warriors, and I thank you, all of you who stood with me, you know who you are. I thank you. You never, ever believed anything different. That made me stand. And I really thank those of you who stood with me. Amazing. I felt like I needed to also share that. One can chase what? Two? Abusu Roma ki rabusu Roma. How could the enemy withstand the prayers of the saints when they declare the word of the living God? Shirarabasu, together, together, together. I praise the Lord. Verse 45, they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. And the Amplified says they sold their possessions, both their land, property, and their movable goods, and distributed the price among all according as had need. Let me share from the book of Acts, chapter 4, from verse 32. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 32. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions. Could KTLCC look like that? But everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. Wow. Among the saints, among the believers, they looked after each other. They looked out for each other's needs so that there wasn't a needy person among them. could KTLCC look like that? Does it already, though? For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. So yes, we're living in different times than they did in those days. But this church that was emerging and developing was unselfish. They had changed from their stance of what was important to them, and then Jesus is discovered, and everything that's important to them goes out of the door. And they begin to think together, move together, and do together to support each other's needs. It's unique. That's a result of being unified together. They walked in the love of God, and they were unselfish. Verse 46, day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple. So something had changed with this early church. Before they went about their business, they shopped, they struggled, they did what they could to make ends meet, they vied for position. But suddenly, daily, day by day, they spent much time together in the temple of the Lord, worshipping him. Then in their homes, they broke bread and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, because they shared. And everybody could go home not hungry, having their needs met. That word "they" in this verse, day after day, they assembled. Day after day, they partook of food. How can we practically do this in our day with our life situations? Maybe we can't gather from house to house, but what do we have in this house where we can minister to one another more easily, not just in the big setting? We have cell family. We have groups that meet, can pray, can share, can look after. If you're not involved in one yet, when you come to our conference the week after next, you'll hear more about that. Verse 47, they were praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The Amplified Bible says those who were being saved from spiritual death. The results of living day by day, receiving instruction from the apostles, receiving teaching, breaking bread together, praying together, praising God together. The result of living this way was a powerful and an effective church. They experienced growth through strong discipleship and fellowship. And they experienced growth because they were one with Jesus Christ and with each other. I said earlier on that what we'd been going through in these past few weeks about advancing was that the first thing we heard was advance outward missionally, advance upward in prayer, advance inwards in growth and development and intimacy with the Lord. And today we're advancing across together. But I say as we do that, we go back to our purpose and we start again. Because with all that we have, we go out again. So it's a cycle that doesn't end. Are you in the cycle? Was it not a sign to the world because they were so different? Look at John chapter 13, verse 35. John chapter 13, verse 35. The generosity, community, and togetherness was like that. By this, all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you keep on showing love among yourselves. So the outcome of doing all of those things daily really was that the world would look at them and say, wow, these are strange people. Look how generous they are. Look how they're giving. Look how they care. They love each other. They are the disciples of Jesus Christ. The world knew they were different. Are we different, Kensington Temple, London City Church? I love that, yes. Let me summarize. It's as if the results of advancing out to the world's need for salvation and then doing all the things we said bring change. Ensuring we're changed inside so that we can be a gift to the outside world, but together. That church in the book of Acts, they had experienced the miraculous signs and wonders happening because of this cycle that they never stopped doing that they were in. They were together and they shared everything, becoming a community of generosity. They became unselfish. They were willing to give up possessions to prosper others. Do we think that way, behave that way, act that way? Christ's church grew because of it. KTLCC is being visited by the Most High, I dare say. We are having incredible visitations. And much of this is taking place just because the Lord said it many, 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 many years ago. And whether we were a part of it or not is irrelevant. God always knew what he was going to do with this house. I'm privileged to be here, to be called to this house. But be where you're called to be if it's not Kensington Temple, London City Church. Be in the center of the will of God. Nothing is more important than that. But the Lord knew that he would visit us again, and he's visiting us. So I have a question. Why would the enemy want to see broken relationships in this house? Or any part of the body of Christ? F.B. Meyer's commentary says, because when we are joined to Christ, we become one with all who are his. And if we are one together, and if we cannot be divided, then we don't fail. A kingdom divided fails. But we are together, aren't we? Believing together, moving together. In one of the weeks, Pastor Malcolm was talking about Peter and letting down the net. So that was the missional aspect. But Peter, Simon Peter, when he had the nets were getting full, he couldn't manage by himself. He had to enlist help. So in order to get that big miraculous catch, help had to come. As I'm speaking, we're not doing any of this alone. As my example showed, I couldn't walk by myself. With the help of many of you, victory was mine. We have to stand with each other. So we can't do this alone. We can't be missional, one-man band alone. We can pray alone and we should pray alone. But we need to pray together as well, because the power comes when corporately we attack the works of darkness. They are destroyed as we stand together. We fill ourselves with him. And some of us haven't got to that point yet, you know. We rely on the beautiful things that are happening here right now, but when we go home, we still don't know him. But we have to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So there must be something in us first when we come together. Pursue it. Pursue intimacy with God. Ask him. Show me how to pray. Show me how to know you more than anything else. I don't know if I said it already, but I'll say it again. Mary said, the Virgin Mary, when she was told that she would become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she didn't stop to think, wow, my future's done then, isn't it? the society won't accept me. She just said, yes, Lord. As you have said, be unto you. How many of us are ready for that sacrifice? Be unto you. Let me come together as one in this body. And let me do the things that they did in the early church that makes a difference, that serves a purpose, that brings men and women into his kingdom. They identified together as one in Christ. Are we able to do that? There's much to do for the Lord. When we look at the world situation, we, KTLCC, have a part to play in God's kingdom in this earth. Somebody also said to be rooted in Christ is to be given the possibility of an imagination of what can happen when God reigns in a community. Are we a community in which God is reigning? When we are rooted in Christ, we can look and see God's order, which brings freedom, life, joy, families, and communities in workplaces. Pray your imagination will be stretched so you can begin to see what God can do through you, in you, and with you. The world is waiting for men and women set ablaze by the love of God, blazing out his purposes. So you need to be rooted in him to do that. That is a quote from Malcolm Duncan last Sunday when he was talking about inwards. And I say, if we do that inwards, then together we're going to do more as we stand together. I ask a question as I close. What does it look like for KTLCC, this Book of Acts church that we were just describing and talking about? What does it look like for KTLCC? The first thing I want to say is thank you. There are amazing people in this congregation, a network of churches. You're really amazing. Money pours out across our network for people in need. And very few know what's happening, what needs are being met or how they're being met. There's generosity in KTLCC. We've only to ask for projects ongoing to make the church building safe, etc., etc. We've only to ask, and people give. You're doing what the Book of Acts did. You're bringing to the feet of Jesus to meet the needs. And I'm so grateful and thankful. Some people in here, they give. I've watched them and I said, well, can I give that back to you? No, it's okay. I've helped them. It's okay. But what does it look like for KTLCC? Are we able to sell our houses and our cars and all our possessions? Or is it, do we do it differently because we're in a different time? There are times that I can't go to see someone, to visit somebody. But someone else has gone for me, I discovered, or gone. Somebody else has given their time and then come and say, I went, I did it. That's what it looks like for KTLCC. What does it look like? There are people who are secretly supplying people in need with money, food, and provisions in this house, and nobody else knows about it. Is that what it looks like to be generous and to have all things common so that nobody lacked anything like in the Book of Acts? What does it look like with somebody who's overseeing a ministry and it's difficult for that staff member to carry it all? Are other staff members rallying around, looking at how they can lighten the burden? I'm speaking to us as staff now. We're looking out and saying that person looks like they need a listening ear. Are we jumping in and rallying around to do that extra task or give an extra hour to carry a load? What does it look like, KTLCC, to be the modern day Book of Acts church? What does it look like for the ministry leader who gives relief to their volunteers because they're overstretched and they're tired? What does it look like to befriend the needy? That's happening here. It costs, but surely it's okay because we're giving up our lives, are we not, for Jesus? And we're doing it together. Could we go an extra mile? Probably. What does it look like, KTLCC, if you fall and somebody rushes and they pick you up? Are you then able to pick up the next person who falls? What does it look like, KTLCC, to be the church that daily are being instructed and receiving teaching, are daily breaking bread together, are daily giving up possessions and time, daily praying together? What does it look like for us? Is that how we advance to become a witness to the world? Advancing across with one another as if we're holding hands or we're a formidable army that cannot be penetrated because we march together. We don't break ranks. What does it look like that we are called unselfish because we are one, all of us are one with the one?